turn for a little while this morning to the little book of Jude. Little one chapter here, but so much in it. That little one chapter right before the book of Revelation. What an introduction it is to that book. Jude, verse 1. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. We would once again bring a message on the faith. And today, as we see here in verse 3, we are exhorted to earnestly contend for the faith. I want to notice at the outset that contending for the faith does not mean that we are contending in an effort to preserve the world or to save the planet, to heal all men of their sinful, wicked deeds, to reform them, or any such thing as that. Scripture plainly declares that there will be a falling away. No one is going to stop that. Scripture plainly declares that this world is getting worse. No one is going to stop that. And so I want to emphasize today that contending for the faith is for my own personal benefit, for my own personal preservation, for my own personal building up in the faith. It is important here to understand the context in which these words are written. We find that Jude is writing to believers, very competent believers, as we might say. And as we read in verse 2, mercy unto you, peace, love be multiplied, the attitude that he had. Verse 3 says, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. Jude was a man of faith. Jude was a man who was enjoying the tremendous blessings that were poured out upon the early church. He calls it here the common salvation. The common salvation simply means those things that they had in common, and they refer to the basic fundamentals of the gospel. They all enjoyed the glorious truth of being born again by the very power of the Holy Ghost, by grace through faith. They enjoyed the infilling of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in new tongues. They enjoyed and they experienced divine healing. These three major things are what is known as the common salvation. Everyone enjoyed that. They had all of that. Even the Gentiles were brought into it. The Jews were amazed when the house of Cornelius was filled with the power of the Holy Ghost, and they heard them speak with tongues as we did at the beginning. This is the common salvation. But the Holy Ghost evidently prompted and greatly influenced and motivated Jude to write about something else. He said, I gave all diligence to write to this. I was going to rejoice and enlarge on these things. But notice what he says. It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith. This superseded what he intended to write about, and it is an extremely important message for our day. As I said, Jude is a fitting book to introduce the book of Revelation, where we find that the tribulation is coming. But before that, Jesus is coming for the bride of Christ. And this is what we should be looking for. I know these other things are coming. Don't misunderstand me. But our hope is to be out of here before the tribulation even begins. And so it is Jude who says, I want you to earnestly contend for the faith. That is very necessary if we are going to win that glorious prize of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Jude gives his energy and his attention that men should earnestly contend for the faith. Contending for the faith is actually, earnestly contend rather, is actually one word in the Greek. And that word means to struggle. It means to compete for a prize. It means to contend against an enemy. It tells us of the energy that must be put into such a struggle. I think it is beautifully illustrated by Jacob. As we remember, this man wrestled with the angel until the break of day, gave everything he had, and the angel said, let me go. And Jacob says, I will not let you go until you bless me. This is the type of struggle we are talking about here. It's the kind of dedication that we must understand and must have and must employ in our own lives if we are going to contend for the faith. As we noted here, contending means to struggle or compete for a prize, but it means to contend against an enemy. Both of these are included in Jude's instructions for us here. And so the first thing that we find out is that they are to earnestly contend for the faith. We have seen a number of times there is only one faith. And that faith is that faith, the faith of the Son of God, the faith of Jesus. That faith is found, the principles of that faith, found in the Word of God, in the Scripture. This is what Jude once again refers to here as he says, it was needful for me to write unto you, exhort you, for you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. He's referring to the gospel that had been delivered unto the saints. This is the faith. We are living in a day when Satan and so many are trying to rob true believers of the faith. They no longer consider these wonderful traits and characteristics of the faith as important. There are some willing to give up these principles, and they would like everyone else to come along and to give them up also. This is why, in the day in which we live, we must earnestly contend for the faith. Several years ago, I talked to a person just about to go to college, tried to encourage them to take a Bible school class. I knew what they were facing. I'd heard it before from too many people, things that are being taught in colleges and institutions that are contrary to God's word. I warn you, young people, beware of those things that are there. Guard against them and do not allow the enemy to rob you. This one individual says, nothing robbed me of my faith. And I just cringed. And it is proven to be so. They have surrendered some of those characteristics, those principles. It is grieving. People who do that know they will not lose their salvation. God's word and God's salvation is eternal. But let me be very clear. They will be robbed of the reward and the blessing that they could have had. And so Jude is very emphatic in contending for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. We are to contend for the faith. Hold on to these principles that God has revealed to our hearts, because the enemy once again is trying his best to take them away. But you will notice this other, as we had, earnestly contend means contend to struggle for the prize, compete for the prize. The prize here, as I said, is the faith. But then it also means to contend against an enemy. That enemy is found in verse 4. For this is why you contend for the faith. It is because there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. That simply means it has been prophesied that they were going to come. God didn't make them do it, but he knew what would happen. This was foreordained. This was prophesied long ago before it ever happened that these things should come to pass. And believe me, they are coming to pass in our day. They are in living color right before us. And what are they doing? They're ungodly men turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. This is where that, even among believers, these principles are being compromised. There are those in our day who seem to see nothing wrong with believers living together outside the confines of marriage. There seems to be those who don't see any problem with homosexual relationships. Now then, there's a new one thrust upon us. This transgender foolishness. And some seem to mean nothing wrong with that. Just support people in what they want to do. That is not contending for the faith. Now let me be very clear once again. We cannot change anybody else. But bless God, I can hold on to these principles in my own life. And I will not give up and say, go ahead, it's all right, no problem, because it is a problem. This is contending for the faith. But let us notice more of the things that Jude tells us. The word lasciviousness, it is a word which literally means filthy. It is a very undesirable, unwanted word. Another word of it is licentious. And that literally means sensually unbridled. Do you know that's what men are doing today? They are just doing that which pleases their senses. And Scripture speaks against us. We cannot be controlled by our senses as men are trying to do. But this means sensually unbridled, unrestrained by law or morality. The only morality we can accept is that which is in contact with God's word. That's the morality that God's people must adopt in our own experience today. But contrast that with the wide open permissiveness in our day, as we have made mention just a little bit ago. These things are against the values of the faith. That's what makes them wrong. They are against the values of the faith. I also want to notice that so many of these things are referring to a lifestyle that people want to maintain, not just an isolated incident. We cannot give in to those things and let anyone know that we approve of such things. Doesn't mean we're out on the street corners and all of these various things, but I'll guarantee you, we will get opportunity to contend for the faith, even where some individuals are concerned. The real problem with this, as Jude tells us here, it's denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. denying what he says, denying the things that he has aspired and told us to do. And so we cannot give in to those things. And so I want to notice today, this is kind of the crux of this message. There are three major apostles that actually corroborate all of these same things. We've seen here in Jude, turn back to the 20th chapter of Acts. Acts 20. The Apostle Paul was very much apprised of all of the things that were going on at that time, as well as the things, of course, that are coming to pass in our day. And so in the 20th chapter of Acts, we'll begin with verse 27. Paul says, I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. That is just another way of saying, I have declared unto you the faith, because they are exactly the same thing. The faith is found in the counsel of God, in the word of God, which, as Jude says, was once delivered unto the saints. So I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Then he says, take heed, and that is unto yourselves first of all. This is the last meeting that Paul had with the Ephesian elders. This is the last words that he was able to impart unto them. And he chose well what he wanted to say to them as those parting words. Skip down to verse 29. I know this, that after my departure shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Paul is preaching exactly the same message that Jude did, giving the same warning about these men that are going to come in and try to teach things that are against the faith. That's the essence of what Paul is saying here at this time. He has already given them the remedy, as he said, I declared unto you all the counsel of God. He's exhorting them to do exactly the same thing. Again, in verse 29, I know this after my departing. This is what has happened in the church. There has been a departure of Paul's gospel. Men are no longer preaching and teaching the depths of God's word. And this is what is the result of that. And so grievous wolves, he describes them here. Jude called them wicked men. There's no difference. Paul tells us about speaking perverse things. Those perverse things are those things that are directly contrary to the principles of the faith. And so we have this condition today for exactly the same reason. Men are departing from the truth of the faith. And so we also find here that Paul was talking about those who would do such things for their own advantage. Notice verse 31, watch and remember, space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone, night and day, with tears. This is how serious it was to Paul. This is the motivation and how weighty that he thought these things were, warning them night and day for 3 years, even before he was taken away. And so he told them to watch and remember. The remedy, we're going to see this a little bit later also in verse 32. The remedy for this condition that Paul is talking about, that Jude is talking about, when men are trying to teach things which are not right, even some believers adopting things that are simply not according to the faith. The answer is this, verse 32. Now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance. Jude specifically says, as we'll see later, to build you up in the faith. And so this is exactly what Paul is talking about, that this is the word of God, the word of the faith. If we follow that, if we apply that to our own lives, then we indeed are going to be built up, and we are going to be able to contend, therefore, the faith. Let us turn to the third apostle. That would be Peter, 2 Peter, the third chapter. All three of these worthy apostles were on the same page. And so, 2 Peter 3, verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Verse 2, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, of the commandment of us, the apostles, of the Lord and Savior. Jude mentions the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Peter tells us he identifies who did that. It was the word spoken before of the holy prophets and the command of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Much closer to home even than those prophets. And so they're all speaking about the same thing. It's the word of God which was given to the saints, the same message, the same word, the same scriptures that have been given unto us today. And you will notice, verse 3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days. And if you check with Jude, he says it this way, referring to the last days. Beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. Notice what Peter says, that indeed, knowing that first there shall come scoffers, Jude called them mockers, they're the same, walking after their own lust. Exactly the same story told by both of these, actually all three, as we have seen. Now notice verse 4. Because Peter is a little bit more specific as to what these mockers are doing. What are they saying? What does their message actually include? Verse 4, they say, where is the promise of his coming? Have we heard that in our day? Yes, we sure have. Notice further. Since the fathers fell asleep, this is their argument. Since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. And in this next verse, Peter points out how that is not a true statement. All things have not continued as they were from the beginning of creation. And he gives this example. He says, this they're willingly ignorant of. They're just ignoring this. By the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. Peter says, your statement is not true. Things have not continued as they were because the flood interrupted it. This was an interruption of things that would continue as they were. He means that God has come on the scene. God has overruled. God is still here. The promises are still made. You say that things continue, therefore the Lord's not coming. No, they have not continued as they were. And the flood is an absolute proof of that. And these indeed are simply mockers, as in the last time. Now notice verse 7. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Peter says, guess what? There's another interruption coming too. Things are not going to continue as they were, as you say, just go on, no interruption, no change. No, God is going to bring judgment once again. God will interrupt again, and it's the word of the same faith that declares it. Sometimes those who give out messages such as this may be accused of preaching gloom and doom and things of this nature. The correct term is they're simply preaching warning. Judgment is coming. But we try to impress God's people not to look for judgment or any such thing. We are to be looking for deliverance. Let us turn back to the book of Jude once again. Go down to verse 20. But you, beloved, if you go through these intervening verses here in Jude, you will find there's a reference to much judgment. But that's not what Jude wants to concentrate on, and that's not what we concentrate on today. Yes, it is coming. Contrary to what many in the Christian community are teaching out there, that better days are ahead, we're going to preach the gospel, we're going to turn this world around, we're going to present the world to Jesus on a silver platter. No, it will never happen. Scripture is very clear that the falling away and the emergence of the Antichrist and following destruction will come. And let me say, no one can do anything about it. But Jude gives us this wonderful message for our own lives in verse 20. But you, beloved, you don't need to be concerned about all of the judgment and all of these things are coming. You have something else to do. He told them at the very beginning of this chapter to earnestly contend for the faith. Here is the reward for those who earnestly contend for the faith in their own lives. Verse 20, you, beloved, building up, and once again, yourselves. We are not trying to convert the world or to transform the world or make it right or make it better. It is ourselves that is the subject in these closing days of time. And there is deliverance. There is salvation out of this present evil world. You, beloved, building up yourselves, once again, on your most holy faith. This is why you are contending for the faith, is to build up yourselves on your most holy faith. And he tells us how to do it. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Now that does not mean, as some might think, just spend hours on your knees crying out to God, give me faith, give me faith, give me faith. We'll not turn there, but take down this reference, because this is the path to building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. John 14, 25 says it this way. This is Jesus. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I've said unto you. Building up yourselves on your most holy faith comes only by spending much, much time in the Word of God, praying that the Holy Ghost give us these wonderful revelations of truth. When we have that, that's when we will be built up in the faith. That's why we contend earnestly for the faith. Remember that classic scripture. Everyone knows it. We've seen it again and again. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We know now from these verses, it's the power of the Holy Ghost that must give us understanding in order that that might be transformed into this living faith which will guide us, motivate us in these closing days of this church age. And so contending for the faith means that we are going to ensure, we're going to guarantee that we are not deceived, no matter how convincing people might be to follow their way. We must measure by the word of God. And so we'll not be deceived by that which is contrary to the faith, that our own lives are going to be directed directly by God's word. Now, just a couple of more comments before we close, which is very important for us to understand. We must know how to conduct ourselves in the face of perhaps some others who insist on walking after the flesh or trying to twist the scripture and say that the scripture teaches thus and so, or as I've heard recently, there's just gray areas in some cases. No, they're not. God's word is black and white. God's word is right and wrong. You don't have to guess about it. Notice what Jude tells us here. First of all, let us get the order. You, beloved, in verse 20, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Then he says, keep yourselves in the love of God. That doesn't mean that you do everything you can trying to get God to love you. No, that's not the way it is. This is the realm of divine love wherein we dwell, is looking for the mercy or the grace. Verse 22. Of some have compassion, making a difference. Others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. And you can underline this part, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. This does not sound like God is saying, just tell people it's all right, it'll be okay. We'll support you no matter what you decide. All right, I'll still love you, all of this. Hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. God's people, those who are contending for the faith, cannot give any quarter to this matter of surrendering to these who would walk after the flesh. Yes, we love them, but you cannot accept and support what they are doing. We rather warn them, and that's the only thing we can do, is warn them. Finally, this again is for us personally. This is the attitude that we must have in these closing days of time, when there is so much opposition, when perhaps even close friends, relatives, may be an influence to back off a little bit. We cannot. Verse 24, unto him that is able to keep you from falling. Don't trust yourself to keep from falling. As I said, I cringed when that one individual told me, my faith is so strong that it will never fail. No. Unto him that is able to keep you from falling, because you can't do it on your own. There's no way that our own resolve, we can't grit our teeth. We can't just engaged in our own so-called stubbornness, our own resolve. No, it goes back again. This is one of the principles of the faith. It must be in Him. And so unto Him that is able to keep you from falling. He's not only going to keep you from falling, He's able to present you, what? Faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. And the result of that avenue of the faith is this: to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. That's what the faith always does. Gives glory only to God. And so I say today with these few comments, there are many things that we could enlarge on in regard to that. But contending for the faith, just these few things that we have studied here today, let us turn the attention back on us and make sure that we are contending for the faith, that I am contending for the faith in this manner in my own life. That's the only one.